Bible teaches that God has an incredible future for each one of us, both as individuals and all of us together as a church. It's something I'm always incredibly excited about. I think because it took me probably a decade and a half of my Christian life to realize it, but I'm really excited that God has an incredible future for me, and he has for you as well. But I don't know about you, life doesn't always feel that way. Is it just me, or do you sometimes feel in your life, I don't feel great at the moment? It's just because life doesn't seem straightforward. Life doesn't always seem to play fair, does it? It's like, that's not fair. Why did life do that? Why did life throw that at me? And all of us have common experiences of illness and accidents and other people being silly. Occasionally we're silly as well and not helping the process. And yet Jesus says, I want to give you an abundant life, an amazing life. But I sometimes feel when I get up in the morning, because I'm not a morning person, if I can just get through today, that'd be good. Do you ever feel like that in the morning? You look at your diary and go, man, if I could just get through today and survive and get out the other side alive, not feeling too bad, not feeling too tired, that would be a win in my calendar today. Survival is the order of the day. There's often new mums, I meet them, they've just got a little baby and perhaps they've been sick all the time and they're crying all the time and they've had like 2 hours sleep in the last 4 days. And they're going, I can survive for another day until this baby's a little bit older and sleeping through, it'll all be great. And I think we sometimes feel like that. And yet Jesus says we can have abundant life. We go like, yeah, but not today. Abundant life, but not today. Is it just me who feels like that some days? Does anybody ever feel like that as well? The rest of you are all super spiritual and never feel like that. Great. Well, I feel like that as well. And when I'm feeling like this, and I read the Bible and it says, you need to love one another and support each other, encourage each other. I'm going like, I'd love to do that, God, but today, survival is in order. Yeah? I will love people tomorrow, or whatever tomorrow looks like. I will do something for them tomorrow. Today, God, is survival day. And let's get to the end, that would be a win. And it's not, I'm trying to be selfish. Might sound a bit selfish. It's just that I'm thinking, if I can get through today, that's enough. And yet God calls us to live an abundant life and help and encourage and build into other people's lives all the time. And I just want to let you know that God really understands how you feel. He really, really understands how you feel. And I mean, I know God, but I'm not sure I know him that well. I think most of the time, he's not upset that you feel that way. I think perhaps occasionally you might get a bit irritated at you sometimes, and you might know because it's not justified, or perhaps it's your own silly fault that you feel in the way. You know, perhaps okay, but most of the time I think God's like, yeah, no, I understand. And I believe this, God is fully committed to helping you to live an abundant life, giving you enough strength, enough gifts, enough grace to help people even in the midst of those days where you think survival is the order of the day. I'm utterly convinced that God is committed and willing and able to do that in our lives. And the Bible says that God is so committed to that, that he has literally placed himself around us and in our lives to help us do that. And for this next few weeks, we want to have a look at this part of the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. That God actually places his Holy Spirit, part of himself, in us and around us to help us live an amazing life every day of our lives. And just let me kind of speculate for a second. I have a little dream for every person in this room, actually for every person that calls Valley Church home, that all of us, in every day of our lives, would believe, not because I've told you, but because you do, that the day, every day you get up in the morning, that this is going to be a good day, because God is with me. And it doesn't matter what you're going to face, it doesn't matter the horrors, or the busyness, or whatever's going to, you just can say, it's just inside, almost as if God whispers into your heart, into your soul, every morning, today I'm going to be with you, and today is going to be an awesome day. And whatever happens in life, you carry that through that day and into the next day, into the next day. Have that dream. And I guess over the next few weeks, I want to encourage each one of you to go, I want that dream in my heart for my life and for the people I know in this church and even the people I don't know in this church, that actually that truth, that promise of God would just be in people's hearts and souls, because it is not so. Because we know things in here, right? But it's much nicer when it's just in here. You just kind of live it out rather than have to do it. And I'm praying that this mini-series will help us as we just think about the Holy Spirit, about the fact that God Himself doesn't want us just to survive or get by, but He wants us to live in the promises of God, that amazing, abundant, hope-filled, joy-filled, loved-filled life every day that we live. Because I believe, and the Bible says clearly that this life is for everybody. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to John chapter 14. And Jesus begins to explain what's going to happen after he's died, come back to life, and then ascended. He says this in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. This is really interesting. I just saw this morning. He says he lives with you already. Doesn't put the already. But he lives with you and he will be in you. I don't know if you noticed that before. The Holy Spirit was already with the disciples. He wasn't in them yet. And the Pentecost actually got the Holy Spirit in them. So I just thought that was interesting for you theologians who like to have things. He said, I will not... But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave his orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. And then in Acts 1, Jesus says in verses 7 to 8, remain in Jerusalem. So that and wait for the power, so you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the earth. And then in Acts 2, verse 17 and 18, the very first sermon ever, Peter stands up and says, he says these words, which I will read to you. Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days, Peter says, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. What I'm trying to say is this. This gift, this power, this enabling to live an amazing life is for everybody, not just a special few. When I was growing up, I did something which I now consider foolish, but I suspect some of you do it as well. And... I used to go to church and I used to see the minister or the preacher do the stuff in the pulpit. And I just thought they were a lot more spiritual than me, a lot more holy, a lot more closer to God. You could say that I put them on a big pedestal, a very high pedestal. In my 20s, as I got to realize the church world was fairly big, and I got to know that some ministers have churches of 20 or 30,000. Actually, some have bigger ones than that. And they went on very big and high stools. I mean, so big, even bigger than this room. I mean, like really big high stools. Like, they must be super spiritual and super holy and super close to God. And as part of that, I presume that they were specially blessed and had a special thing with the Holy Spirit, which I wouldn't have. And this is where it is. And I would probably never have because I wasn't that special person. And because of that, I never really believed that God would do everything that he promised to do. Because, well, that was kind of for special people who do the special things for God. Yeah? And I just want to say, I think there's so many of you out there go, you might even look at me like that. I'm not. I'm just an ordinary guy who happens to be leading the church. I mean, I hope I'm good at it. But I know my faults and failures. And those of you close to me know as well. And God does amazing things through me, but no more amazing than he's doing through you or wants to do through you. And can I just say, this is the thing. I don't know if you have any Christians on pedestals, any ministers or any speakers, or any, the highest pedestal. Don't bring them down to where you are. Believe that you can sit on that pedestal as well. That God can do such amazing things as you believe that they can do, that God can do that for you. Pastor Brian Houston's one of my all-time heroes in the Christian faith. This weekend alone, over 100,000 people across the world will be worshiping in a Hillsong church of some form or other. And I was like, wow! And I talked to Chris Sean last week, and in 20 whatever years it was ago, when he went, there was 200 of them in the Hillsong church, that Pastor Brian and Bobby. And they're like, wow! And it's easy to go like, wow, it's amazing! How much better it would be to go like, wow, and that's where I am as well, in God. And if somebody can just take that home and begin to unpack that, that was all you need to hear this morning. Now, please don't switch off, because that'd be terrible, or snore, because that would be... But for some of you, just need to go, God's Spirit in that proportion is available for me. Whoever that person might be. Now, if you're not in church life, it's your first time in church, that doesn't help you. Apart from to know that whatever you think God could do when you read in the Bible, God can and do in your life as well. God's Spirit, God's power, God is available for all of us. For all of us. And so we're going to have a look about what this means for us, why the Holy Spirit's so amazing, and what God has promised to do for us through the Holy Spirit. And listen carefully, what God is going to help us with. And there is a distinction. So the Holy Spirit will do some things for us. For example, he makes our relationship with God right. He does that through what Jesus did on the cross, because we can't do that ourselves. But then he helps us with things as well. So some things we have to work at, and then he comes and helps us with it. He's not going to mysteriously do it magically. The classic for me is, God will help me lose my weight, but he won't stop me eating food. Does that make sense? There are some practical things in your life that God's Spirit will help you with, but he won't do it for you. And there's other things he will just do for you. And there is a distinction. And if you can understand, there is a distinction. When you pray, you'll pray, God, help me in this, or God, can you do this for me? And then if you pray and help, then you need to put some effort in along the way. Does that make sense? Excellent. Great. I'm going to miss that bit out. So, Jesus says this... So if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 7, John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus actually says that before the Holy Spirit comes, he needs to go. And I want to try this morning to answer that question. John 16, verse. I'll start reading at verse 5. Jesus says, "No, I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going back to heaven. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, but you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away, because unless I go away, the counselor, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus actually had to go for us to receive the Holy Spirit. And for me, there's two really crucial reasons why Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. The first one's blindingly obvious. Jesus was a physical being on earth. And physical beings on earth can only be in one place at one time, right? So Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could be everywhere all of the time. Otherwise, it would have been really weird, wouldn't it? Because if you'd had the Holy Spirit and Jesus was in America doing a teaching tour, it would have just felt really bizarre. So the Holy Spirit has come and Jesus has left so that we can have a relationship with him, all of us, all at the same time. And the other thing about the Spirit is this, is that Jesus being a physical person, he uses words out of his mouth, yeah? Whereas the Holy Spirit communicates inside us, spirit to spirit. And more than that, he can empower us from the inside out and help us with our thoughts and our attitudes, as well as actually helping us kind of understand things or working alongside us to do things. I.e., Jesus and the Holy Spirit are different. And so the question is, what is the Holy Spirit like, or who is the Holy Spirit? Now, the theologians say this, that the Godhead is three persons and one person, which is a bit weird, right? Yeah? If you see first time in church, God's a bit mysterious. I hope that's okay. It is a little bit weird. And they say that the three persons are distinct. Either is God the Father is a distinct person. Jesus the Son is a distinct person. The Spirit, which is called Holy, is a distinct person. But they are also an indivisible unit. Now, I'm just going to leave it there and say go figure, because I haven't got time to explain it. Is that okay? But I just want to let you know that that's true. Both those things are true. If you're really stuck, come speak to Andy. Or when Dave gets back, speak to Dave next week. Jason's quite got good brain as well. And my dad's been a Christian a really long time, and he can explain it to you in clarity that I couldn't. Isn't that true, Dad? Not really. Right, anyway. But that's what this is. But the Bible gives us some pictures to help us understand what the Spirit does and who he is. It talks about the Spirit being a wind, powerful and mighty and able to really move things and do things both in our life and through our life into situations. It talks about it being a fire that comes down and kind of burns through and makes us holy. Bit scary, that one, but that's what it does. It talks about the Holy Spirit being like water that drenches us and cleans us and kind of encompasses us and is kind of... I quite like water, so that's a nice picture. If you don't like water, it's not as nice, is it? It's a bit nasty. But that kind of cleaning kind of... It talks about the Holy Spirit being a dove, gentle, resting on us, giving us peace and joy, the things that we need as human beings. But in all the pictures and all the explanations, you can't get away from the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. And for me, this is a crucial truth about the Holy Spirit as we start this series. The thing about a person is, they're either with you or not. Yeah, have you figured that one right, yeah? Your friend's either there or not. And if the Holy Spirit is a person, he's either with you or he's not with you. Yeah? And so if the Holy Spirit's with you, he's with you. If he's not with you, he's not with you. But sometimes Christians say, you know, I feel like I need some more of the Holy Spirit. It's like, but he's either with you or not with you. You mean he's gone somewhere? Has he kind of left you? What? I mean, they don't mean that, but that's what they can imply. The thing, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's with you. Now, how much access to your life, that's a different question. But you need to know, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Bible says he's with you and he's in you. He has to be in you, because that's the only way he could clean you up so you can have a relationship with God. So you actually know he's with you and he's in you if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower. It's a given. And I just want to say, if you're a Christian, that's true. Period. Because I know some Christians, they sometimes go like, oh, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's in me. He is. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. You're not saved and you're going to hell. Sorry about that, but it's true. And so you need to realize that. I think for some of you, if you can just perhaps just take that away with you, that would be enough. Just to reassure yourself in your soul that actually God, the Spirit, the power of God is in me and with me, because I'm a Christ follower. That's it. We're going to come on to the, are we open to the Holy Spirit? Another session, not this one, but that's another, it is a real good question. The other thing, because he's a person, and this is one, it means he's relatable to. You can have a friendship with him. Now, this is something I love. And again, it took me probably 10 or 15 years of my Christian life to get this. I can talk to the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with him, and he can talk to me. And again, we haven't got time to really discuss it now, though I'll mention a few points towards the end, if time allowing, is that because it's a relationship, it means we need to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And over time, it should grow and change and develop like any good relationship we have with a person. And perhaps for some of you, if you're Christians, you need to go, I haven't really developed that very well. At this point, you can come talk to me. I'm happy to talk about that, and I'm sure Andy and Jason and my dad are as well. But you can develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit so all the things the Bible promises can be yours, and you can understand them and begin to live in them and walk in them. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 a few of the things that we as Christians gain when the Holy Spirit enters our life. And I want to just mention them very quickly for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may, and then he lists four things. These are the four things you gain when you become a Christian. Well, you gain access to when you become a Christian through the Spirit that lives in you. So that you may know him better. So one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is for you to know God better. It says in Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to help you know better. And I love it. This is a very cool. So Ephesians 3, verse 16, Paul writes, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Notice what the power is going to help you do. Primary thing, Holy Spirit does. I pray that you've been rooted and established, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is help you realize who God is and help you with that relationship. The Holy Spirit, essentially, is a really cool, non-scary person that just wants to help you get to know God better. And when you open your eyes and say to the Holy Spirit, I want you more in my life, I want you to have more access in my life, what you're actually saying is, I just want to get to know God better, and I want to understand God's love better, more in my life, in my soul. It's the most wonderful thing that you can possibly do in all the world, is to say to God the Holy Spirit, hey, can you have access into my life? And then Paul goes on to say, it says, so that you may know him better. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called. The Holy Spirit gives you assurance that you're actually a child of the King. And he comes in and says, you are a child of the King. And I remember when I was 19 years old, when that happened in my life. And I'm a little older than 19, and that knowledge has never gone. It's almost 30 years. That's terrible. Oh, can I just say it's not my birthday today? Who's noticed on Facebook? There's lots of, yeah, it's not my birthday today. I put the wrong date on my Facebook page in case any scandal people wanted to nick my details, did some research on the advice of my wife, who's not here, so she can't defend herself. So I put the wrong date on. I added 10 days. It was 10 days ago. But thank you for all your happy birthday messages. Much appreciated, even though it's not my birthday. To be fair, it's been on there for 3 or 4 years, but this is the first year I've got lots of happy birthday messages on my birthday. I know, that's weird, right? It's been on there for about 4 years, ever since I started my page. But this year I've got like 50 messages on there saying happy birthday, and I don't know what to do with them. Do I confess? Do you think I should confess? I'll just go, thanks very much, and leave it like that. Like the Queen, have two. Anyway, I don't know. I just kind of got lost a bit there, sidetracked. Thanks, Amy. Verse 18, I said, so I pray that the eyes of your heart may light in order that you may know the hope of which God's Spirit helps us know that we are a child of the God. Again, another amazing reason to give the Holy Spirit access to your life. When he's in you and with you. And then he says, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The Holy Spirit allows you to understand all that God has for you, both now and for all eternity. Again, I can't think of a more amazing reason for letting God's Spirit access into every area of your life. Just to know all the riches of heaven at your disposal, and to know that kind of heaven's your home and you're kind of pouring riches in and God's gone to prepare a place for you. That's amazing. And, says Paul, this is why it's fascinating to me. And, says Paul, his incomparable great power for us who believe, the power that is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father. Paul, three things before we get on to the power that the Holy Spirit's often talked about, which is kind of useful for life and ministry. So we know God better, so we know we're a child of God, and we know that the riches of heaven are ours. I don't know about you, I'm going, give me more of God's power. I want to access every area of my life to him, because those things I need. I prepared a bit of a message along the lines, from now on in, about the fact that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives because we are essentially lonely people and we need to have a great relationship with God. I haven't got time to really do it, but I can just try and summarize it for you. You see, the biggest thing that most people say to me when I go and visit them is, I feel a bit lonely sometimes. It is the number one comment of people. It could be a mom who's with the baby a lot. It could be a businessman who's traveling a lot. It could be a teenager who just feels like nobody else cares and nobody else understands. It could be an older person that's just feeling lonely and feeling on their own. And from the very beginning in Genesis, it's explained to us that each human being is designed to have both human relationships, but more importantly, a relationship with God. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is he comes and gives you that relationship with God that you actually, even if you don't know, desire with all that you have to have that connection with God, with the Creator of your life and my life. And that's what the Holy Spirit primarily does. It does more, important more. But primarily, the Holy Spirit in every Christian life helps them to restore their relationship and then develop that relationship with God himself, with the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit himself. And this morning, some of you might not dare admit it, but this last week, there's moments where you felt lonely. And you're a Christian. You felt a bit on your own. A bit lost. A bit like, And I want to suggest this morning that I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to get you to put your hand up because I want you to go and confess to somebody separately. So don't put your hand up and confess the entire church. But do go and tell somebody. Say, I felt a bit lonely this week. I want to pray that you would, as it were, open your entire being so the presence of God who's already there has access to your life. Because I actually think it's access that we restrict God in. So God's with us and he's made us holy. So we have a relationship with God. But then we restrict his presence. Well, you can't get involved in that area, God, because that's my area. It could be finances that Jason so wonderfully taught about before. You know, this idea of first and best to God. It's like, no. I need to make sure I'm okay and then I'll give. That's the big one. It could be family. God, you know, but don't touch my family or my job or my spare time. For me, my holidays and my health are my two biggest things. God, you can do anything, but don't touch my health. I want to be healthy. Don't touch my holidays. It's taken me ages to read my Bible on my holidays, Confession of a Pastor, because I read it so much the rest of the time. It's like, I take it with me. It just stays in my bag. I'm sorry. But God, the Holy Spirit, wants access to every part of your life. And whatever areas that you've restricted him from, that's why you're feeling lonely and lost. And the answer is to say, just to open the door to that area of your life. And I want to pray for you if you felt that feeling. Perhaps you're not a Christian yet. Perhaps you've never had a relationship. So you don't even know what relationship with Jesus feels like. Can I say it's amazing? Most people are like, wow, when they first meet. I once Many years ago, we were doing a teenage event, and this girl who'd been coming a few weeks came to the front at the end of the service and said, "I want to be a Christian." We prayed for her, and something amazing happened in her life. I mean, obviously, we have no idea, but for the next hour, all she could say was, "Wow." She went, "Wow, that was wow, and wow, that was wow." And like, "Was that wow? That was wow." And she just kept saying, "Wow." And for others, it's just a very gentle knowledge that something has changed. It's not dry. That's me, by the way. That's the way God works in my life. Annoyed me when I was a teenager because I wanted the wow moments, but I actually appreciate the gentle moments. So, but God will come and meet you, and He'll do something. So if you're not, God wants a relationship, and you just need to say yes, and He will come and have you. But I think so many Christians in this room, can I suggest, if you feel lonely and lost, that you just need to open your every area of your life up for Him to come in and reveal more of Himself to you. And you do this very simply, if you've never had a relationship with God, by accepting that Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to fix your relationship with God Himself. And it's really that simple. We all know that before we found Christ, we were doing our own thing. That's called rebellion against the king. That was punishable by death. Still is, by the way. Treason is still a death offense. Actually, my son's not. Is that not true anymore? It's not true anymore. But it used to be until recent history. But it still is against the King of Kings. But Jesus took that away from us on the cross. So we need to accept what Jesus did and say thank you. And then obviously change and say, "I want to follow." The second thing is, Ephesians 5 verse 10 says, "Find out what pleases God." I love that little phrase. I read it this last week as I went through Ephesians. Find out what pleases God. How do you allow God's Holy Spirit to enter more of your life? Find out what pleases God and do it. That's it. It's not a matter of following rules. The following commands is good, as Jesus says, and I read it out before. If you love me, you'll follow my commands. But it's not. It's about just figuring out what God wants you to do, what Jesus wants you to do, and doing that. That's so amazing. If you want to have a great relationship with God, just figure out what God wants you to do in your life. Do that. That's it. That's it. Simple. And I meet so many Christians who go, "But I follow all the rules. Where's God?" And I go, "Yeah, but are you positively asking the question, what does God want me to do in my life today? Not next week or next year or in 10 years' time, but I'm asking that question today." And perhaps you need to do that in your life. And then thirdly, can I suggest for each one of us that we need to spend time developing that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? It's easy to pray to the Father and pray to the Son. But I challenge you, if you're a Christian this week, and whether you feel lonely or lost or not, but why don't you one day say, "God, the Holy Spirit, I know it's you who really resides in me and with me. I want to develop and deepen my personal relationship with you." And I suspect it'll take you weeks or months or necessarily even years to explore that relationship, but you would be stunned, I think, over the period of time, how it grows and develops, and your life is never the same, because you learn to hear His whisper, hear His voice, act on it, and see some amazing things happen. Well, church, that's my message for this morning. I want to pray for some of you, if that's okay. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is primarily here to help our relationship develop with God Himself. That's His primary task, is to make that connection and develop it. And there's lots of other things as well, but we'll explore those another Sunday.